Whatever happens next happens here.
Unbelievable!
Seville 107.5 FM, AM 1260 WCHV.
So yesterday morning, we were just chatting with Whitehall Supervisor Ann Malik, talking about her town hall meeting when the subject of affordable housing came up. And she said, and I think it was my question was, do you think that at some point you're going to have to expand the development zone? This was based on something I believe I read at the Free Enterprise Forum's blog, but we'll investigate that in a moment. And she said, no, I think we just need to do a better job in the area we have. Now, that struck me as possibly meaning density, higher rising buildings, that kind of thing. So I kept her over. We blew off the 7:30 news, and I asked her.
And what different things would... is in your mind to do differently in the way we do housing in the development zone that would create greater inventory and therefore more affordability?
I would like to see our expectations raised about spread of the unit values that are the costs that are in these new projects and redevelopment projects. We've had several where the proposer has provided 50% of the units as in an affordable range from 30 to 80% average median income. That proves that it can be done. We need the right players in the room who can have the business model and the expertise to deliver far more units than just continuing on with the same old model that we've had, which has people building a few here and a few there. And there are all sorts of ways in which they don't stay affordable.
And that reminded me of something Neil Williamson told me once a long time ago about the actual way the system works in the county. So I reached out to him to join us. Neil, good morning. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Doing great, Joe. Thank you.
You and correct me if I'm wrong, because you wouldn't be the first this morning. So the county's system works, the builder builds and the sets aside a certain number of units as, quote, affordable, below market rate, and then it's the county's job to find residents for it. Now, when I queried Ann about it without belaboring her clip, she said, well, we just have to do a better job of teaching the residents financial literacy, because you had chronicled the fact that most of the time they just go back to the developer who puts them up at market rate, correct?
Well, I think there's two elements to this that are critically important. One is the first thing in the clip that you played, whereby there is someone putting forth 50% affordable units, which is a great thing. And I've been thinking about this for some time. What we need to focus on is what's working. And that 50% is rental units. We have a system right now that works for rental units, mainly because there are leveraged funds. There's something called LIHTC funds from the federal government. There are VHDA, now Virginia Housing Funds. And you put in some money from the locality, perhaps in a synthetic TIF, whereby you don't pay the increase in property taxes for the first 15 years. Those things work. Now, what you're talking about is for sale units. And what we're seeing with the for sale units is less success. And yes, Albemarle County has failed to answer the bell under the current housing affordability plan. They were to provide the buyers, and they have not. The builders did what they were to do, built the units, held them aside until the county provided buyers, but there wasn't forever for that.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, the housing department was decimated. And now housing, which used to be a part of community development, is part of social services, which is a different world. I think it's critically important that we focus on what's working. And let's look at those things and see what are the similarities in those items. You have county involvement, usually with some finances. You think about the Brookdale project, which had that synthetic TIF that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You look at other projects like the one up on 29 North, the RST project. That project was brought forth with significant for-rent affordable housing on transit line, potentially, that would serve the needs of the community. I think we need to focus on what we have figured out what to do And then we can look at some of the pilot programs that are working in these other models, which include the community land trust and other innovative ownership models where there's shared equity. And those models should be tested, but they should not be, as I wrote maybe a year ago now, Albemarle County right now requires 15% affordable housing in a redevelopment project. That has not produced significantly over the last 10 years. So instead, what they're doing is they're doubling down and saying, let's have 20%. It's like the watermelon truck driver who's losing $2 a melon and needs a bigger truck.
So let's dig into that. And I remember the watermelon story, and I wasn't mistaken when I remember you and I having this very conversation some time ago about this problem. And we got into the conversation after Ann had finished her visit, and I hope there were a lot of people at her town hall. I'm told, but there are more coming up about this, because this is going to be an issue of what Albemarle County is, in quote, investing its $565 million budget in. The cost of getting a unit done, I was told by a builder, it could be upwards of $300 a square foot. We've talked about the fact that it could be upwards of $20,000 in permit costs and fees and that kind of thing before you even get a shovel in the ground. What should the county be looking at to try to reduce those costs?
Well, the Free Enterprise Forum wrote a letter to the county about 2 weeks ago outlining, I think it was 8 specific items. One of the things, the county could dedicate funds to pay for the tap fees for affordable units. What that would mean is about $20,000 a unit. I guess it's $17,000 a unit. But that would be a direct investment in affordable housing that wasn't being paid by the ratepayers of Albemarle County Service Authority, but by the taxpayers mm-hmm. of Albemarle County. And that is, if it's a community demand, it should be a community payment system. It is those types of innovative thinking that we need in order to get the ball moving in the right direction. But more importantly is, what is the model that they're going to use in order to get to the housing affordability in Albemarle? Merely adding to the percentage necessary is not going to do it. There is a relatively innovative plan on the table from Albemarle County Community Development talking about by right density bonuses, whereby you do this many units, you can increase your density by X and 2 to 1 almost to pay for those units. Well, if you do that, that's all well and good. And I don't hear a whole lot of support from the supervisors for that right now, because that means they don't have the ability to say no. And that is a critical piece for folks in power, is the ability to say no and to answer the concerns of their constituents when a, quote, rezoning happens. Despite the fact that the comprehensive plan, which has been community vetted, says this is how many units per acre, what we put forth in the density denied report is that we're not getting the density that the comp plan envisions because there's not the political will to support it.
You know, and this may be someplace where we have to bring our mutual friend Scott Beyer into it, but it seems like, you know, as long as we're still funding our schools off of, you know, real property taxes, you know, we seem to be going the wrong direction in both our school, you know, achievements and our property affordabilities. Neil, I've got to run up on a break. Can I hang on to you for a moment?
You bet.
AM, FM, streaming, and now a smartphone app. The technology changes, but at your service since 1933. WCHV.
Neil Williamson is on with us from the Free Enterprise Forum, freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com. Neil, and you know, we're talking about, you know, in one of these issues that I don't think it's because they're bad people. I just think they lose the issue if we can ever get to a place where we fix affordable housing. And we talk a lot with our mutual friend Rich Schuyler. His Orange Dot report, he says he's working on a fifth edition of it, which should be interesting to see. And I'd mention his buddy Frank, but he's all kind of caught up in Duke and St. Bonaventure being in the, their respective Final Fours. But at some point, these guys at Network to Work are going to run out of the good-paying jobs to try to help people hook up in, and we need to investigate that aspect of it to help people find the jobs that help them afford the housing that exists, because we leave that out of the conversation a lot.
We do, and what we need to recognize is that less than 5% of the land mass of Albemarle County is dedicated to residential and commercial activity. That is really a challenge when you look at what's coming forward in the offing. We've posted a blog about when we run out of lots, and that the commercial side is even worse. We've seen a report about 4 years ago. The Economic Development Authority did a report looking at ready sites, and they examined five ready sites and found that none of them were really ready and would need significant rezonings. You wonder why big companies aren't coming here with these career ladder jobs. It's because there is nowhere for them to go. So the Free Enterprise Forum has been bold to say we need to double the development area in Albemarle County.
Well, it would still leaves 90% of it undeveloped, correct?
It still leaves 90% in those rural areas. It would be a significant change in policy. But if we are planning in the comprehensive plan, which is nicknamed AC44, for 2044, you do not have lots in 2044 based on our back-of-the-envelope calculations. Now, the official calculations will come out in about 3 months, and we'll see how far off we are.
Well, but that was sort of what led me to the whole conversation with Ann about affordable housing, because I asked her, I said, should you expand? And she said, we just need to do a better job with the area we have. So unless they're going up, there's not a lot of out left there.
Absolutely accurate. And Ann Malik has been one of the ones who's changed the policy, whereby we used to have what's called a hard edge of the development area. If you think of Rio Road, where you have a farm on the right side and dense housing on the left. That's a hard edge.
Mm-hmm.
They're now, the new theory is a tapering. So that means lower density on the edges. Well, if you do lower density on the edges, you've shrunk your development area. And the question of density has been key. And Ms. Malik has voted opposing much of the density that has gone on, especially in her district, with challenges where the developer comes forward with, 300 units, and then they have to come back after the Planning Commission, and they have 200 units, and then they get to the board, and it's 150 units.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those units becomes more expensive because of the carrying costs of the land and the costs associated with development.
And also, when we look at these, and I know that her town hall meeting last night, there were a lot of people opposing a development that they wanted her to promise to vote against. And you look at the basic marketplace, which is the more inventory you have, the lower the cost is going to be. There's the inverse pressure, isn't there, Neil, on that says, well, I don't want my house's property value to go down. So, A, I don't want apartments near me because that brings down my property values. B, I don't want less expensive houses because when the assessor comes, he's going to look at the average of how the houses sell in my neighborhood, and there goes my property value there.
Well, and at the same time, you have people very upset about what the assessments are and the reality of the housing market. So I think it's a double-edged sword. Development is like electricity and like water. It goes where it's easiest to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you enact codes that require 20% of your housing to be, quote, affordable, i.e. 80% to be less affordable, then you are going to probably push people into buy-right development. And that buy-right development may occur in the development areas, and it may occur in the rural areas. And in either case, it won't be the dense development that Ms. Malik wishes to see, and it will exacerbate the delivery costs of government services.
Well, sure, because then you start getting into areas where, there's more driving necessary because you're just farther out. I mean, I've heard people talking about development, for affordable housing units in Dyke, and I'm thinking, what sort of transit are they going to have out there? I mean, it's probably beautiful up against the mountains, but, I mean, if that's what we're looking at, just to avoid NIMBYism, I don't know if that's going to work very well either.
Right, and the idea that Albemarle wishes to have density is clearly enunciated in their comprehensive plan, but it is not clearly demonstrated in their votes over the last 5 to 10 years.
Well, and it's not clearly demonstrated in their actions either, because, it was 2 years ago, it may even be like 5 years ago, there was a development over here by the Albemarle Square Shopping Center, I think is the one where the old grocery store, you know, is still laying empty, and the Ferguson, I forget which one that is, but the area by Scott Wagner's.
And that's in the city, and that's Seminole Square.
Seminole Square, and but that, they were talking
that,
about
that proposal's moving forward, actually.
So that, you know, housing units, and people said, "Oh my gosh, look at all those units!" I said, "It's right on a main road. We just made it a main road with all kinds of bus service on it." I mean, that is, to my mind, exactly what you want in that kind of thing. And you mentioned the city. Can the county and city work in any sort of conjunction to help this happen?
The question isn't can, the question is will. And it is, there are competing ideologies and there are challenges in both localities, and that's not to dismiss either of them, and they're addressing them differently. Mm-hmm. I think that the direct investment that that Charlottesville is talking about is a significant investment. How that money is spent with for-profit and non-profit housing providers is going to be critical to the success of the program. Albemarle County has dedicated significant monies over the last couple of years to a couple of projects, and some of those monies are deferred revenue. And really, the deferred revenue, which is that synthetic TIF I talked about, yeah, tax increment financing, is a great way to understand how it stays affordable for 30 years. That is what I consider a key element. Just as the equity share, the property ownership that Habitat and that the Community Land Trust and others have, each one has their place in this tapestry of housing affordability. But the big thing is we need more housing everywhere for everyone.
FreeEnterpriseForum.wordpress.com. Thank you so much, Neil, for taking some time out with us this morning.
Great to be with you.
No supply chain blocking here. Guaranteed delivery of your news at the top of every hour. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.